Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell, and this Friday edition is full of local stories that we need to catch you up on. We begin, though, with some state news, as our community is still learning and reacting to yesterday's announcement from North Carolina leaders that Group 4 of vaccine eligibility will, in fact, begin next week and earlier than expected. Those with chronic health conditions will be prioritized over others in the group for 2 weeks as they make appointments to get the COVID-19 vaccine shots. It comes as the local rollout continues to plow ahead. Orange County data reported by the state indicates nearly a quarter of the county's population has gotten at least one vaccine dose so far. Chatham County also reporting similar numbers. And Chatham, of course, has passed the one-year anniversary of the first coronavirus case being reported among its residents. That was earlier this week. Orange County is set to pass their mark of their own over the weekend of their first reported case. Other news out of the state government on Thursday, Governor Roy Cooper signed the latest COVID-19 relief bill into law, as well as the bill that will expand school reopenings too. Cooper and Republican lawmakers worked together to craft that legislation over the past week. The new instructions say a district's K-5 schools must provide instruction to all students without physical social distancing limits. With the state has called that Plan A, and that means that students will have in-person full instruction 5 days a week. State scientists reported to research showing younger children do not spread COVID-19 as easily as adults to support this shift. The legislation also asks schools to open in middle school and high schools in a similar way, but they can still have Plan B elements of requiring 6 feet of distance between students, which means there would be some hybrid learning with elements of remote learning mixed in there too. The law says districts have to adopt this plan by early April, which at least locally might cause some conversations and shifts in planning to make sure their schedules fit that. Another bill working its way through the General Assembly, the Senate-approved Republican-led legislation demanding North Carolina's sheriffs help federal agents seeking immigrants who are in custody. It's similar language to a bill Cooper vetoed in 2019, which was sparked when several North Carolina sheriffs chose not to cooperate with federal immigration and customs enforcement officers, better known as ICE officers. That measure now moves to the House for consideration. Turning to local government, after years of back and forth planning, about 900 acres of developable land is under consideration again by the City of Mebane and Orange County. The Buckhorn Area Plan aims to provide more commercial and industrial growth to Western Orange County by identifying properties that could be zoned for non-residential purposes and best support economic development. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has more on the conversations around this as well as the plan itself.
Dedicated as a development district by the City of Mebane and Orange County in 2011, the Buckhorn Economic Development District includes a variety of manufacturing, wholesale, distribution, retail, and service uses. The district is located in the western part of Orange County, just off exit 157 from Interstate 85 and 40, and includes approximately 900 acres of developable land. The existing land use for the area is currently agricultural and residential. The executive summary for the plan states that the large land areas and low residential growth of the area make it ideal for commercial and industrial growth. Chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Renee Price, said both the City of Mebane's and Orange County's planning departments had a chance to sit down this week to discuss renewed interest in the area and the overall intent of the development.
Yeah, so we've had the Buckhorn Economic Development District on the map for decades. And for a long time, nothing happened, and now we're getting some interest in that area.
According to the City of Mebane's website, the Buckhorn Area Plan assesses the feasibility of long-term economic development along the Buckhorn Road corridor, which has, quote, experienced significant growth pressure as more and more residential and commercial entities show interest in Western Orange County. The City of Mebane held a public meeting dedicated to the Buckhorn Area Plan in November of last year. Primary concerns were about development standards, such as traffic, buffering, noise, and lighting. The meeting was about 2 hours, and about 25 people attended. At their work session on Tuesday, Price said Orange County and Mebane's planning boards both expressed the need to hear from more people who currently live in the Buckhorn area.
The controversy has come up that we have a lot of homeowners that live there now, and they, number one, have felt left out of the process. And number two, really, we're expecting this to remain residential, rural residential, or agricultural land. And now we have competing interests in the same area.
The Comprehensive Land Development Plan defines the Buckhorn Area Plan as a G2 industrial development, which advises developers to maximize non-residential use and discourages further single-family developments. While the development plan is clear about not including more residential development, Price said it provides no guidance for residents who are already living on those 900 acres.
It can be quite jarring for people that live in an area that have been there for, 20 years. Something's been on a map for 20 years, but nothing's been done, and then all of a sudden there's interest, and things begin to change.
You can learn more about the Buckhorn Area Plan on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
In some other local government news, the town of Chapel Hill will soon update some traffic signs on Laurel Hill Road following a recent injury to a child. The residential street is a two-laner that runs between Fordham Boulevard and Country Club Road near UNC's campus, and the town government says new signage will be installed in the next week. The decision comes after emailed requests from a community member on March 8th, which followed a young child sustaining injuries after being hit by a motor vehicle on the road the day before. Town of Chapel Hill staff say they will post new signs, including hidden driveway signs and curve warnings with a 15-mile-per-hour advisory, with the goal of alerting motorists to slow down and better watch for pedestrians. Staff has already added flags to the existing speed limit signs on the road, according to a town spokesperson. And for the record, it has a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit. Time now for a look at sports. The Tar Heel men's basketball program is into the semifinal round of the ACC tournament after a gritty win over the number 3-seeded Virginia Tech Hokies last night. The 81-73 victory in Greensboro was hard fought as Virginia Tech used a very physical and quick approach both on offense and defense to throw Carolina off their game in the first half. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trendle has more on how the Tar Heels responded and decided to turn things around.
Virginia Tech sprinted out to an 8-point lead early in the game and appeared to be the much more physical team, despite playing just 2 games over the last month and UNC riding high after a 42-point win over Notre Dame on Wednesday. The Tar Heels had just 2 offensive rebounds in the first half and struggled to get any kind of rhythm, doing just enough to go into halftime down by only 3 on the scoreboard. In the second half, though, everything started clicking once again. The frontline pairing of Armando Bacot and Dayron Sharp put their massive size advantage to work, while freshman guard RJ Davis came off the bench and scored 14 of his career-high 19 points in the final period. Davis was the spark plug for a critical 11-2 UNC run midway through the second half, which turned a back-and-forth game into one where head coach Roy Williams' Tar Heels were comfortably in control.
At halftime, to be honest with you, I felt very lucky that we were just down 3. And we told them that if they would change that and get a greater sense of urgency in the second half, stop turning the ball over, that we'd be there at the end and have a chance to win.
Davis' performance was representative of what the Tar Heels have been this year, a team lacking a true star but possessing a deep roster with a variety of options on any given night. Like Davis, Bacot also keyed a late UNC run in addition to posting a double-double for the second straight night with 17 points and 13 rebounds. Sharp added 10 points as the only other Tar Heel to score in double figures, but a total of 9 different players scored for UNC. Fresh legs seemed to be the difference down the stretch, as Virginia Tech had 4 players log more minutes than any single player on UNC provided. Justin Mutz led the Hokies with 24 points, while Tyrese Radford added 20, but there wasn't enough help elsewhere to hold off a Tar Heel team, which also used a strong second half to pull away from Notre Dame the night before.
I think this was a tougher test on something like that, and I thought we handled it pretty doggone well, but we still have to make some shots. You can't keep shooting 44% for the game.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trendle.
All of that means Carolina plays Florida State tonight, which is round 3 of the season series. Both teams have won a game so far, and it is no easy task for Carolina. Leonard Hamilton's team is a challenging matchup for Carolina since the Seminoles have the depth and size to limit UNC's play in the paint. We'll have to see how the Tar Heels do with their 3rd game in 3 days, while Florida State sees its first tournament action at all. We already know who the winner will face in the championship match, and we also learned that way sooner than expected. The ACC announced shortly after 9 o'clock this morning the top-seeded Virginia Cavaliers had a member of its team test positive. That led to the semifinal game between UVA and Georgia Tech to be canceled, meaning the Yellow Jackets get to move on into the final game tomorrow. We'll have to see what that means for Virginia traveling to the NCAA tournament next week, which will be, of course, dependent on whether any other positive tests get returned. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips put out a statement following this news and, of course, spoke about Duke's program having the same thing happen to them. He said he is heartbroken for the student athletes, coaches, and support staff for both programs and, quote, "We will follow the lead of our medical personnel to ensure the health and safety of our programs remain the top priority." Florida State UNC tipping off at 8:30 tonight. Our countdown to tip-off is going to begin at 7 o'clock. Now, facing a tough test on the road Thursday night in Charlottesville, the top-ranked UNC men's lacrosse team sprinted out to an early lead. They were able to hold on to a 16-13 victory over the number 8 Virginia Cavaliers in what was a hard-fought game. Nikki Solomon had 3 goals, 3 assists for Carolina, while Chris Gray continued to shine as one of the nation's top attacking players. He had 4 goals and 1 assist as well. UNC is undefeated 7-0 on the year. They'll go for win number 8 on Saturday at noon when they host Air Force in Chapel Hill. The Diamond Heels have Clemson in town for a 3-game series of their own. That one starts tonight at 6 p.m. Bad news for the UNC volleyball program, which also hoped to be in action this week. Their scheduled matchups for the weekend have been postponed because of a positive COVID-19 test within a recent opponent's program, and Joel Segula's program putting out a statement today saying they are not going to play their games out of an abundance of caution. Thank you again for tuning into this Friday edition of News on the Hill. As vaccination efforts continue to build across North Carolina, Chatham County's Public Health Department recently announced a partnership to better expand its reach. The county department shared StarMed Healthcare, a healthcare system based in Charlotte, will take over operations for the mass vaccination clinics held at the county's Agricultural and Conference Center in Pittsburgh, including their first one today. Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard spoke with us at 97.9 The Hill about what this change means for vaccination rollout and for the public health department.
Yeah, so we anticipate that it will allow us to continue to have these clinics and meet our vaccination goals. But it also allows county staff, our health department staff, to get to some of the work that is part of their ordinary load. And we've been benefited by the fact, one, that we have a lot of volunteers in Chatham County that have been wonderful support, and also that a lot of our employees have taken on additional roles. But, you know, the health department has a role even outside of a pandemic, and a lot of the employees are now going to be able to get back to their ordinary course of business. And I think that's important. So I don't think that from the public perspective there will be any change in the access and the service around vaccination, but from a county perspective it will allow us to return to some degree of normal for the rest of the staff.
In some other county government news, Chatham's Parks and Rec Department is opening its first dog park in the next few days. The permanent dog park at Briar Chapel will feature separate sections for big and small dogs, and it has amenities like shaded benches, water fountains, and dedicated stations to dispose of dog waste. It is set to open on Monday and will be open 7 days a week from dawn until dusk, according to the county. If you want to check out photos of the facility, head to our news article on chapelboro.com.